welcome to Inside Scoop Live. Thanks so much for tuning in. I'm your host, Juanita Watson, and today co-authors Kristen Gulick and Katie Yankosik are here to talk to us about their new book, Handwriting for Heroes, Learn to Write with Your Non-Dominant Hand in 6 Weeks. And this book has just been published by Loving Healing Press. And really, by targeting adults, it preserves the dignity of those who must relearn the basics of handwriting by providing an alternative to children's workbooks. All tasks in this book are oriented to the adult learner. Let me tell you a little bit about these authors. Katie Yankosik is an officer in the Army Medical Specialist Corps. She graduated from Gannon University with a Bachelor's of Science in Occupational Therapy and from Eastern Kentucky University with a Master's of Science degree in Occupational Therapy. She is pursuing a PhD in Rehabilitation Sciences at the University of Kentucky and currently lives in Kentucky with her husband and 2 sons. Kristen Gulick has been enjoying her practice as an occupational therapist for 23 years. She graduated from University of Puget Sound and began her practice working with children at the Shriners Hospital in Portland, Oregon. Kristen's career path led her to focus on rehabilitation of the upper extremity, and she became a certified hand therapist in 1996. For the past 5 years, Kristen's practice has focused exclusively on clients with upper limb loss. Currently, Kristen lives in Central Oregon and works with clients recovering from upper limb trauma. And just if you want to jump on the website, their website is handwritingforheroes.com. So that said, welcome both of you to the program today.
Hello,
thank
Juanita.
Thank you, Juanita.
So really, is this true that this is the first book of its kind targeting the adult learner?
It is true. There's one other handwriting program that's targeted more for the senior client that is writing to classical music. And so this is the first book of its kind that is a comprehensive book that is geared towards the adult learner that's not a geriatric population.
Okay. Is this Kristen?
This is Katie.
Katie. Well, how can that be that there has actually never been a book that's put out for this purpose for adults?
Well, that's a very good question, because a lot of occupational therapists who work in pediatrics or in school-based settings, their primary referral is for handwriting remediation. So it really was a shock for me and for Kristen when we were trying to work on handwriting and thinking that there should be some reference, and when we went looking for it, we came up empty-handed. So, it was a shock to us as well.
So Kristen, how did this, the whole title for this book, I love it, Handwriting for Heroes, how did it come about?
Well, the title really came out of Katie's creativity. Katie and I met, she was working at Walter Reed Army Medical as the head of their amputee service, and I was there as a consultant. And when we met, I think felt we both had the same kind of passion and approach to working with clients, and talked about this, that in my previous practice, I had worked in pediatrics, so was familiar with handwriting remediation, and then in my practice with adults, found there really wasn't anything out there. So what I used to do, and I'm sad to say this, that I used to tell my adult patients to go to the local drugstore or a child store and buy a kind of a primer for handwriting, and that's how they should practice to relearn to write with a non-dominant hand. And that was not an appropriate response on my part. And so when Katie and I began to work together, we saw this need, and then it came out of working at Walter Reed Army Medical, where we were working with soldiers who were returning from Operation Iraqi Freedom and Operation Enduring Freedom, and felt like because that was the motivating factor behind the book, that Handwriting for Heroes was a great title. Katie came up with the title, and we, while the book is not directed purely at military, we truly hope that it helps civilians as well as military, that we did dedicate it to our work with the soldiers.
I see.
We sort of, to add to that, Kristen and I had a conversation about the title. I remember our conversation. And we felt like anybody who was willing to take on this arduous task of transferring their hand dominance was a hero. So no matter what their injury, whether it was sustained in combat or they had a stroke or whatever would take away their dominance, that they were, in our eyes, a hero. And we really feel that way, that they're anyone who is tackling this thing is a hero. And so that's what we sort of were able to get away with, the title being a dedication to the military folks, but also encompassing our respect for anybody with any injury who's going to take this on.
You know, there is such a hit, I imagine, to self-esteem when it comes to losing your hand, the function of your hand, whatever the cause may be. So, you know, this must be a very rough process to go through for people.
You're absolutely right.
I think it can be, there's so much loss involved with recovering. You know, initially there's loss, and then there's the process of trying to figure out how you're going to do all the things that are important in your life. And so our ability to help someone through this aspect of recovery will just make it easier for them and less loss and feel that accomplishment and rebuild that self-esteem.
Mm-hmm. Now, is the process of learning to write in an adult, which really, I guess, would be relearning, is it the same as it is for a child learning the first time?
No, it's not the same because there are things that make it easier. One, you already have a command of the language, and you have an idea of how the words go together and sentence structure and grammatical syntax rules. So in that way, it's easier, and you have written for 16 out of 18 years at the minimum.
Mm-hmm.
And so that makes it easier that you have some reference point. And your letters, if you think about it, if you just close your eyes, you can construct letters in your mind. I remember as a child writing in the air with sparklers. So the letter, the grapheme is in your mind as an adult, unlike as a child. But the irony is that your dexterity and your ability to manipulate the pen or the pencil on paper and make it come out smooth and keep the slant consistent and manage the pressure of the pen in your hand and the pen on the paper, those things are very similar as a developmental process as if you were still a child, which, again, goes back to making it frustrating and a hit to your self-esteem.
Mm-hmm. Now, is this really possible in 6 weeks? I mean, that's amazing to be able to accomplish this in that quick of a time.
It is possible. I think what you end up with at 6 weeks is a legible handwriting ability, and then it continues to improve, like
mm-hmm.
anything, with practice.
Mm-hmm.
And within 6 weeks, it's an intensive practice schedule. So you are writing every day for 42 days, and there is a lot to be said about that deliberate, focused practice and rehearsal. It mimics what an athlete goes through in a training camp. So every day you are back at it and back at it. And so 6 weeks is a short amount of time, but there's a lot of work that's going to happen in 42 days.
And consistency in anything is key.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. It is key. Yeah, talent, as they say, is overrated.
You know, I want to address this whole idea as well of frustration, because not only is this a hit to the self-esteem, this is incredibly frustrating, and it has to be a common emotion. I know from my own experience, I had carpal tunnel issues at one time, and I had to try to write with my left hand, my non-dominant hand, and it was an emotional roller coaster for me attempting to do that.
Right. And that, you bring up another good point, which is sort of germane to what Kristen and I do, is there is generally an element of pain involved, which changes your frustration tolerance.
Mm.
So if there is pain and other issues, like Kristen mentioned, loss, and just a process of healing, all of these things sort of complicate the game, so to speak.
Yeah.
So there is a careful balance between pushing forward and learning and practicing the handwriting skill with balancing it with other things that are going on that will influence your ability to focus and learn and complete the tasks.
Now, are you including support for these kinds of issues in this workbook, Kristen?
Well, I think the other thing that's important about the way the book is written is that frustration you can experience can sometimes be diminished by the way the book is written and looking back at just how far you've come. So when you have a day and think, oh, am I ever going to get there? We encourage the clients to look back and say, oh, wow, look at my handwriting on the first day. And the way it's written, you can look back and see that. So hopefully that will help with that process. And then the other thing is a lot of the content in what you're practicing writing are positive thoughts. So if we're using that, we hope to support more positive, outlook.
That's a fantastic idea, and that, I imagine, is that's a key difference from using children's books where it's, you know, see, spot, run.
Exactly.
Right. Right. Yes, we hope to have captured and maintained the dignity of the adult's intellect and maintain their psyche and respect for what they've maintained despite their injury. So the book does sort of reflect that in what they're writing.
Mm-hmm. So is handwriting something that, as occupational therapists, you regularly address with adult clients in both of your practices?
Specifically with the military folks that were coming back injured, a lot of them, their goals, if they were to get out of the military, and most of them do, is to go back and pursue a college degree. So writing seemed like, well, we certainly can't send them out without knowing how to take notes in college and do some basic writing. Not to mention, anyone who's spent any time in the hospital realizes that there are forms to be filled out and menus to be filled out when you're an inpatient. So handwriting seems like it happens very quickly where someone's demanding you to write something. So we felt like we would not do justice to the military patients if we did not deliberately address handwriting as a task that they definitely have to leave the hospital knowing how to do.
Mm-hmm. Now, Kristen, do you encounter this a lot in your practice?
I do, but I think oftentimes when you're dealing with someone who's had a major life change and trauma or a stroke, something like that, there's so many other things that get focused on first. And I'm not saying that's right or wrong, but oftentimes maybe in the beginning they're working on learning to feed themselves again or dress themselves, and then once they're discharged from the hospital, which we all know happens very quickly these days, the focus becomes on other things. And a lot of patients I find in the civilian world are left to their own devices to figure out how to write again.
Mm-hmm.
But what I do find is interesting is patients are very driven to learn to write, even if they're figuring it out on their own to change dominance. So there's still that drive. I have heard some therapists come up with a solution of just using technology and replacing handwriting if it's too cumbersome for a patient to learn. But I think most humans are very driven to want to write.
I have recently completed, as part of my doctoral program training, a research apprenticeship, and I did a study, and I had 12 adults who had traumatic amputation of their dominant hand in the study, and I asked them as part of the research study, did an occupational therapist work with you on handwriting? Was handwriting addressed in your therapy recovery plan? 6 out of 12 said yes. The other 6, of course, said no. So it was interesting, but all of them had addressed handwriting through the therapist or on their own, like Kristen said. And so, and I've done the study after we wrote the book, but one of the interesting things that I was happy in finding out is that handwriting was important to these 12, the sample of 12 adults that I got to work with in the study. So the book is written that a therapist can guide the person through, or the person can buy the book for themselves and work it in the privacy of their home whenever they're ready. And I'm happy to know that people are still interested in handwriting and want to master that skill.
Yeah, it's really interesting that all 12 would want to address handwriting. I mean, there's just something inherent in that, I imagine. I'm not too sure really what it is. So it sounds like to me then that really as an occupational therapist, you would want to introduce this as soon as possible in the rehabilitation process.
I think so, or at least put it out there as something that is on the radar screen, so to speak. So we have this tool, the workbook. Does the patient want to sit and work with it when they're going through the guided therapy, or is it something that they'll save for later? As Kristen said, oftentimes there's other things that are more pressing, and the lengths of stay are getting shorter and shorter, so perhaps it wouldn't be appropriate to work on, say, from the beginning or even shortly thereafter, but it's something that the occupational therapist is recognizing as would be potentially important to the person.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as speech therapists look at oral communication, occupational therapists do focus on written communication and fine motor dexterity control and participation in occupations that have certain various demands. There are a lot of jobs and activities and occupations that involve handwriting, even but for a piece of time, there would be some demand to write.
You know, you brought up an interesting point then about the fine motor skills, because really, if this isn't just about handwriting, this is about really understanding how to use a non-dominant limb. And really, you probably, I imagine, don't realize how much you rely on your dominant side until you lose it.
That's very true.
Yeah. Yeah. So tell us a little about how this actually leads to developing fine motor skills. So this isn't just necessarily about handwriting, really.
Well, what we did in the book is, while there are practice pages for the handwriting, there are tips. They're called therapist tips, but they're tips for the patient or a caregiver. And they give different exercises that are related to handwriting but are not actually holding a pencil in the hand, mm-hmm. that are developing the fine motor skills that are required for handwriting, like wrist extension and stability of the proximal part of the body, as well as activities to develop the dexterity within the hand. So that's where we tried to incorporate further development of fine motor skills to support handwriting.
We also, in the book, added homework so that they will have a component where they have a take-home assignment, as you will, that they could work on every day. And so we embedded in the homework assignments things like flip a pen from end to end, and if once you master that, to be able to just twirling a pen in your hand, take the pen cap off and flip the pen and put the cap on the other side without setting the pen down or using any other part of your body to push onto. So we've made it where it could be a simple activity like that and added some complexity, and it gets increasingly harder as the homework assignments progress.
Mm.
So there's lots of fine motor activities in there, flipping coins, pulling coins through fair putty or silly putty, lots of different things that, as you said, Juanita, people take for granted how much they rely on their dominant hand for manipulative skills.
Mm-hmm.
And also, not only are they learning to transfer their hand dominance, but they're learning how to do things with only one hand. And so there's, when you think of doing things bimanually, they've also lost that.
And we'll be back with more Inside Scoop Live after these important announcements.
Are you looking for new ways to promote your book? Why not consider being interviewed live? With the huge impact internet radio as well as podcasting is making in our society, your voice can now be heard worldwide. Let Juanita at Inside Scoop Live create the necessary steps for you. You will not only receive a web page of your own, but your interview will be available for MP3 download and RSS feed. As well, your interview will be posted on venues such as iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, Podcast Alley, and the Inside Scoop Live blog. Go to InsideScoopLive.com today for more information. Welcome back to Inside Scoop Live. Today I'm talking with Katie Yankosik and Kristen Gulick. They are co-authors of the new book, Handwriting for Heroes, Learn to Write with Your Non-Dominant Hand in 6 Weeks. And you can find out more about Katie and Kristen through their website, HandwritingForHeroes.com. So clearly then, Katie, readers would want to start at the beginning of this book and progress throughout, not just pick it up at any point.
Yes.
And start.
Yes, the book is written to build upon itself. So we don't recommend starting at chapter 6, or you will find yourself in tears.
Yeah.
Start at week 1, day 1, and move forward.
Great. You know, with the high prevalence of right-hand dominance, I imagine that most people are really learning to use their left hand. I think it's something like 90% of the population is right-hand dominant. So are you including any exercises in this book that consider that? I mean, it's very different to write with your left hand than your right.
It is different, and we do address that in the way that you set yourself up at the desk and set your paper and how you hold the pencil. There are instructions in there for different ways to hold the pencil and avoid patterns of holding the pencil that are not desirable for left-handed writers.
Mm-hmm. So there are definitely obstacles. Do scientists know what makes someone right-handed or left-handed?
They don't really know. There have been some studies, and there have been some different theories. There's some evidence out there that there's a genetic link. There's also some evidence about hormones that affect the fetus and the handedness that's developed. But that's all I've found in research. Katie, can you speak to that further?
I found the same thing, and there are different theories about how they used to think, okay, you're either left-handed or you're right-handed. There's some right-handed. There's new research to say that it's more like a continuous variable, so that somebody may be, and we think of, okay, then they've added ambidextrous. So mm-hmm. there's right-handed, left-handed, and people who are ambidextrous. But now there's scales that are developed, and I'm using one in my research called the Edinburgh Handedness Inventory that allows people to rate how they do, what hand they prefer for 10 different tasks. So what do you throw a ball with? What do you write with? What do you eat with? What do you pick up small coins with? So that they're recognizing that you may do some things right-handed and you may do some things left-handed. But the majority of the common people would say that your dominance is based on which hand you write with. We are not really so much related to this book interested in how right-handed or how left-handed they were. We're focusing more at the activity or participation end of the task, so we're making it available to anybody who wants to transfer their hand dominance, or even if they didn't have an injury, they may be interested in it. So, but for our research purposes, we are taking a look at what makes a person right-handed, what makes a person left-handed.
Mm-hmm. And I've also heard that depending on which hand you're dominant in, you're actually using different pathways in the brain. Is that true?
Yes. If you're right-handed, you're using your left hemisphere of your brain, and if you're left-handed, you're using your right hemisphere of your brain. And again, with the new, well, it's not that new, but with the imaging capabilities in neurology where they can do the PET scans and the functional MRI scans, they're taking a look in animal and human models about when you're using your right hand, how much of your left hemisphere is lighting up. And so there's a lot of new research coming out about that, which may be of interest to Kristen and I, given the hand, you know, the handwriting is so linked to dominance.
Mm-hmm. And another thing that I have heard related to that is that there's different practices where people will actually, you know, not because they have to, but just start writing with their left hand to actually access that right hemisphere that is more about creativity and opening up imagination and that type of thing. Have you in any of your clients noticed that they've had personal changes in that direction when they start using their left hand?
Well, Kristen and I had a patient at Walter Reed Army Medical Center who lost his right hand and so was transferring to left hand, to being left-handed, and he never before had been artistic that he remembers, and now he is a very awesome artist. We had asked him to do the illustrations for the book, but he was moving and had other things going on in his life and wasn't able to, but just in the process had shared with me some of his artwork, and he's a phenomenal artist. So there's a case right there that would say, there might be something to that. You transfer your hand dominance, start accessing your right hemisphere, and you can uncover some sort of
hidden talents.
Hidden talent, exactly.
Yeah.
So, but again, I don't know what the research would say about that. Although Kristen, in the beginning, found some websites when we were looking for resources that had to do with transferring hand dominance and changing your personality.
Oh, wow.
And I've also had, it's been interesting as I talk to patients about this, significant others who may attend therapy with them have told me, a lot of people like to claim they're ambidextrous whether they are not. And they say, I practice writing with my non-dominant hand just for fun. And it's been very interesting to me how many people play with that idea and like that idea of learning to write with their non-dominant hand.
That is so interesting. And is there any truth to the whole notion that handwriting can actually strengthen the brain, maybe prevent stroke, or even links to Alzheimer's, preventing Alzheimer's?
Well, there's a strong sense that any type of new learning that you do as an adult is strengthening the brain. And then the next leap that scientists and, of course, especially therapists who have a preventive health sense want to say, well, if this is true, if working on something will strengthen your brain, then would it not prevent or ward off or slow down the aging process or the disease process? So it's not definitive. It's not a truth. I wouldn't put it in the truth category yet, but it certainly is something that people are looking at and have said for years, well, the key to slowing down the aging process and slowing down memory loss and whatever that's typical sometimes of in adult, late adulthood is to can be a lifelong learner, learn new skills, keep reading, all of these types of things. So we're hoping that there'll be a bit of people out there that will be interested in that as a preventive mechanism. And it can't hurt.
Absolutely.
It can't hurt.
That's so true. That's so true. I mean, it sounds like the theory is already there. It's just that the research needs to kind of come in to back that up because, I mean, I know with elderly clients, I'm sure that you're noticing that cognitive function really, really improves when they are really using their brain.
Yes.
So does a person's handwriting from the non-dominant hand eventually look like what their old handwriting was?
And anecdotally, I have heard yes from my clients, and the research study I was alluding to earlier, I have had two of the 12 people that were in my study bring me old samples of their handwriting, and I would not have been able to tell the difference. They looked exactly the same. And I think it goes back to what I had said earlier, where in our minds as adults, we have a picture of what written letters look like, especially the letters that we used to write. So your size and your slant and your shape of the letters, you already have that in your brain. So to take away the hand that used to produce that doesn't take away the image in your brain. So, but that's only anecdotally from my experience, and Kristen may have had other experiences.
Actually, my experiences are very similar, that the handwriting initially looks like kind of a crude replication, but as they practice, it does look very similar to their previous handwriting.
Isn't that interesting?
Oh, God. And I should say, too, Juanita, that Kristen and I both worked to transfer our hand dominance, and we put that in there in the book for therapists who are working with adults to transfer their hand dominance, that they first should work so that they can, one, see the frustration, and then, two, see that it is possible. And my left hand, I'm right hand dominant, but my left hand writing looks very similar to my right hand writing. It's a little sharper. It's not as smooth and round, but it looks very similar. The size and the slant and everything is very much the same.
I think that's a great idea to actually go through that process for therapists so they really know what their clients and patients are getting into.
Yes, and of course it makes for great party tricks. And
yeah.
my two sons love that I can write with both sides and that I can tie my shoes with one hand and do various tricks with one hand. So, amputee therapists have potentially are great party guests.
That's funny. What about the speed? Can you use your non-dominant hand as quickly as your dominant?
I would say I'm a little bit slower for writing with my hand, but that's only because I have the luxury of being able to mostly write with my right hand. If my right hand, if I was solely relying on my left, it wouldn't take me long and I would be up to speed with my left.
Mm-hmm. What about your experience, Kristen?
I would say the same, and I find it depends on what I am writing. If it's something like signing checks and writing checks out that I'm not really thinking much about it, my speed is about the same. But if I'm composing, I'm even slower. So that's what I found.
So interesting. Well, okay, you know, we alluded a little bit to the whole idea of technology, computers a little earlier, but I'd like to get both of your opinions on the fact that we live in such a computer-dominated world, and really, you know, is handwriting going by the wayside? Is there really a need for handwriting? You know, it surprises me that in the study that all 12 of those people were really, really interested in getting their handwriting skills back when really, I mean, you know, signing checks and on the dotted line is really, you know, where a lot of people are just using their handwriting skills these days.
Right. And one other question that I asked in that study to those 12 participants was, how much handwriting do you do each day, on average, each day? And when I added them all up and divided it out, it came out to 58 minutes per day on average.
Really?
So, yes. And only eight of the 12 were still working. The other participants were retired. So even factoring in people who are not working. And I think what it is that we definitely are relying on computers. And so sitting down and writing long pieces of text may be not obsolete, but not as common, certainly as it was 10 or 15 years ago. But people still write to-do lists. They write Christmas cards. People still do write letters. They write grocery lists. A lot of things you don't write, you don't type in a computer, you still write. And a lot of times authors will start with a pen and a paper before they go to the draft at the computer. Not all. But I have a sense. I mean, look at the amount of paper and pens that are still sold at the big Office Max and Staples.
True.
I wanted to actually get a sense of how much paper and writing paper and stationery type things are sold, but I couldn't figure out how to find that out on the computer. So my belief, Juanita, is that handwriting is still very much part of our culture. It's still very important, and whether it be for hobbies or piecemeal of work tasks or home tasks, to-do lists, writing checks, these types of things, I think it's still very much a part of who we are and what we need to do to get through our home and work lives.
Mm-hmm. Kristen, I believe that handwriting is really, it's our ability to express our style and our personality that typing just can't do for us. And I kind of think of cursive handwriting in particular as a fingerprint of our communication.
That's a really good way of looking at it. I mean, I think that we may have to get a little more proactive in making sure that we don't lose our handwriting skills. I mean, just on a personal note, for me, I do so much work on the computer, and I tell you, my handwriting suffers when I go to write a letter to somebody or you know, write a birthday card. I am pretty much appalled at my handwriting skills. I might need your book.
I was going to say, there might be, you might just need our book to practice with your dominant hand.
I know. That's so funny. So, you know, your book just came out, really. Either of you had a chance to really put it into use in your practice? I'd like to hear from both of you on that.
I just got an email from a friend that I had sent the textbook to, the workbook to, and he wrote me back and said, "You'll have to send me another one. I was telling somebody about the book, and they wanted it, and I already gave it away."
Oh, wow.
So that was just this morning on the email. And then I got another email yesterday from a person that I didn't know, a therapist practicing in Cleveland, Ohio, who said, "I'm working in a Trauma One medical center, and finally I have something to recommend to the adult amputee patients who come through here." So that's been my experience. I'm not practicing right now because I'm full-time in graduate school. So those are my two most recent experiences about the use of the textbook besides the fact that my two sons wanted copies, and they are working on transferring their hand dominance. And I have one left-handed son and one right-handed son. So it's been a ball over supper, them sitting and writing, each with a different hand. It's been very fun.
Oh, wow. Wow. How about you, Kristen? How are you finding this being used in your practice?
I've been using it all along in my practice, but just not bound and published yet. So I've been using it and continue to use it. And before it was published, I had a couple therapists asking me, and I'd give them one chapter at a time, and now they're going to buy the published copy. So
wonderful. I'm
really hoping that it will help therapists and their clients alike out there.
Will the two of you be marketing this to the psychology community and the rehab community?
Primarily
yes,
the rehab community, but and beyond, and hoping to find even through support groups. So like Katie mentioned, the book is written in terminology that you don't have to be part of a rehabilitation program to use it.
Mm-hmm. Katie, did you have something to add?
Yeah, we are Kristen and I are first and foremost therapists, and now we can add author to our repertoire. What we are not is great at marketing, but we are starting to think about ways to, we're not saleswomen, but we are thinking of ways to get the book out there, primarily because our focus is on helping patients and people who may need and benefit from this book. So hopefully the marketing comes through as our that our hearts come through in marketing, that we really just want to make a much-needed resource available to people who maybe have been using children's books, and we want to offer them something better and more respectable than that.
Well, I think just the fact that this is basically the first of its kind, I mean, that kind of, you know, people will be looking for something like this, and they will find you. So you're very lucky in that respect. And with
and with
the amount of applications, I mean, this isn't just for individuals that are forced into this situation. I mean, there's so many applications for it that, I mean, this really is a fantastic book that you two have put together.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, you bet. So your website is handwritingforheroes.com, and so your book can be purchased through your website?
That's correct. The book will be available that way or through Loving Healing Press, and we're adding things continually to the website, and that's been the newest part of this process is the website. So we're updating it, and we hope to have just lots of resources and information available to therapists and clients that would be interested in purchasing the book.
Wonderful. And I understand that you actually have quite a few resources in the back of this book as well.
Well, Kristen and I combined our bibliographies, and we put that there with the idea that mostly therapists, but perhaps some of the clients would be interested in looking at some of the references and research that's gone on before us. And so we've made that available too.
Great. Well, thank you, too, for both coming on this show today. This has been so interesting, really such a fantastic book. I wish you all the success. And did you guys want to mention any final thoughts to our listeners today?
Well, thanks, Juanita, for having us. We're excited to finally have made it here.
Yes.
And it has been a work of our hearts to get this book together and out there. So we're just very grateful for the book getting published and for you taking your time with us today.
Absolutely. Thank you, Juanita.
Sure. Oh, you're very welcome, Kristen. Well, ladies, all the best to you, and I hope that we get a chance to talk again in the future.
Thank you.
All right, listeners, that's been Kristen Gulick and Katie Yankosik. They were here today to talk to us about their new book, Handwriting for Heroes, Learn to Write with Your Non-Dominant Hand in 6 Weeks. And once again, this has been published by Loving Healing Press. Their website is handwritingforheroes.com, and as mentioned, you can have a look there, purchase the book through the website. I know it's also available through online booksellers. I imagine available through your local bookseller and bookstore as well. So have a look for this book. So I want to thank you once again for tuning into Inside Scoop Live. I'm Juanita Watson, and until next time.